Welcome, 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 everyone. It is the SNME NXT IWH after party. It's the after house party, shall we say. That is what we are doing here tonight, as we all just got to watch a under 2 hour and a half event, which is always a delight. It felt like just watching a television show, probably for more than one reason. Some good, some bad. We'll talk about it. Now, joining me tonight on the program, though, the gentleman who always does the after shows with me for NXT, that is everybody's favorite bartender, Bartender Dave. Let's bring him on up, and there he is. The belts are in the background for those of you that are watching him live right now and are on our Zoom feed. I just love the fact, Dave, that the one that you have in particular that I'm spotlighting there,
Oh, Jesus.
Is the fact you have the ridiculous Daniel Bryan environmental champion belt that is what it's made out of hemp, right?
It is. It is made out of hemp, and it's going for $200 to the first taker. I need the money.
Yeah, that's hooray,
everybody. This is fantastic. I am so excited to talk this show because wow.
I mean, in a good way or in a bad way?
In a good way. That was quite the production. Like, it was just beautiful. We'll get into it, but yeah, wow, what a show.
Well, here's the thing with this show. You know, of course, we did the preview this afternoon, and when you looked at the card, because there were so many multi-person matches to me never seem like it's never going to be the end of a feud. It's never going to be the finale. It's never going to be all that special because of that. So this card is already going in really, really fighting an uphill battle with both the six-man tag to kick things off tonight, and then the fact that the main event is a five-person match, which is let's just throw some crap on the wall and see what sticks. That is really what the main event felt like tonight. It was an uphill battle, Dave.
But it didn't stick for you? Because it stuck for me.
Well, we'll get to the end. because I think the top and tail, this show was bookended with two matches that, well, the last one I thought took a while to get going, but it was bookended with two strong matches. And then everything in the middle was the books, and I don't like to read.
Oh, come on. Oh, reading is beautiful. It really is. At least I remember it as being beautiful.
Let's get into this. So a few things coming out of this. Obviously, they put a fun nostalgia spin on the In Your House shows. And we had the fun opening and then an opening signature here, which I liked. It was NXT for nearly a decade. The revolution force in sports entertainment.
How long has it been since we've seen that?
It's a play on the old WWF thing. Mm. Well done. Promo package, Todd Bettengale, the VO, he runs down the card. We get some Doc Hendricks, which I will call him Doc Hendricks. So Michael P.S. Hayes there. And then after all of that fun nostalgia, we have someone named Naomi Fox opening it up with what was some of the worst lip syncing since Ashley Simpson on Saturday Night Live, which was also, wasn't that a 90s thing or was that a 2000s thing? Probably a 2000s thing.
It was close. It's close.
This stunk.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And to tell you the truth, I wasn't really paying much attention at this point. But she walks away and it just ended and that exactly how it should have, because it was really, really bad.
It didn't need to be here.
No,
it didn't need to be here. It really stuck out like a sore thumb. I'm not quite sure why this was here. Like, did she pay for her time?
Well, exactly. And why would you do all that stuff with Poppy and then not have her open the show like that? Like, at least a name that people know, because I had no idea who this young lady was.
Maybe Poppy made a better decision to not be there in lip sync. Todd Bettengale comes out as the host. He looks great. But here's the deal. I know that Mark Andrade will be popping on in a bit after we get through our review to have his say. And Mark Andrade is clearly listening and is our Oz tonight. And I don't mean Kevin Nash. He's controlling everything. Well, Mark Andrade, Todd Bettengale has now taken the award for worst facial hair away from Alex Marvez. It's completely inspired by Alex Marvez.
I could see
so
that.
So we got to get Mark Andrade's opinion on that a little bit later in tonight's show. Dave, there were fans in the stands, and you're the one who texted me and said, hey, Jay, there's no screens up there. It's all
none.
Fans.
And I kind of liked it, too, because it's kind of they stole this little smaller venue from NWA almost, you know, like I like how they did this tonight. It really felt neat. I wasn't at all wanting the giant crowd tonight. I thought that it gave it that feel that of the original NXT arena from
what was it called?
Full Sail. It felt a bit more Full Sail. And I liked it.
It was weird, and I think as Mark posted up on the board tonight, you could just see a row of knees on the hard camera, knees and legs on the hard, because it's so steep in there that it's like sitting in the 500 level at the Sky Dome or in like any big sporting arena where you need that leveling in order to be able to see down and watch the events happening. Anyway, it was cool to have fans, but comparatively speaking, and I mean, it is a fair comparison. I mean, AEW and NXT run side by side, and AEW came back with fans for Double or Nothing, and there is simply no comparison, not only with the amount of fans, but also with the enthusiasm of the fans. Either it was too small for them to really be able to give it a good go and be hyped tonight, or there just wasn't enough of them to make it happen, or they weren't enthused. I don't know, but this did not have the feel that AEW did for Double or Nothing.
I agree with you on that, but I didn't miss it either. I thought they did a really good job with what they had, and they weren't going to try to make it bigger than it actually was. I thought it was they did a really good job with everything.
The six-man tag match kicks us off, as we speculated this afternoon, Dave, when we recorded our preview. Bronson Reed and MSK versus Legado del Fantasmo. And I liked Reed's tights, and I liked the fact that they were matching with MSK. It makes them look like a unit. But then, after Sean Kelly, who's probably in this room right now and listening live, after he posted Bronson's ring gear makes him look like the long-lost third member of the Natural Disasters, that is all I could see. He had, they were all green, but he had the avalanche pattern on his stomach. And because of his size, looked just like one of the Natural Disasters, 100%.
He does a tsunami for his finisher. So right there, boom, Natural Disaster. He fits right in.
So I could really see nothing else after that. Now, Dave, I found in this match, the story they told was they did showcase, despite Legado del Fantasmo being the more experienced team, they went out of their way to showcase how well Reed and MSK work together, despite not being a team. And I think that started with the outfit and then continued on to the ring work. And they made a real emphasis on that.
Yeah, they did. And the story, like you said, the story they told is was really well done. And I was not looking forward to this match at all. This is probably one of the least one because I'm not a big MSK fan. And Bronson Reed, when he first came out, I had high hopes for him. And it just feels like he didn't deliver for me. But wow, did they ever put on a great show. But I really wanted Legado del Fantasmo to take the Fantasma to take the both titles. I thought that would have been great.
Nah, I didn't want to see them. I didn't want to see them swap it this quick. Bronson Reed just got the belt.
Right.
He just got it. He can't be dropping it right now. They're building this guy as someone who looks different and has the potential to be a star. And this is not a good way for them to lose it as well and do the full exchange here. So I didn't expect it to you might have wanted it, but did you expect it?
No. Okay. No, but I just really like the Fantasmo team. Fantasmo.
So
why am I getting that wrong over and over again? Sorry, go on.
A few notable spots in this match. All the guys take turns diving on one another to the outside, and it builds to Bronson doing a suicide dive to the outside onto everyone. Bronson really got all the big spots here because then they recreate the spot where Bronson squishes Santos Escobar against the barrier, but this time the barrier is gimmicked and the barrier breaks, so he goes right through and clear runs him right over. But we're not done with Bronson yet. Like, talk about spotlighting one guy in this match. This allows MSK to isolate Mendoza and Wilde in the ring. MSK hits their finisher, and then Bronson's not done. As I said, he comes off the top rope to go along with his natural disaster style wardrobe and hits the tsunami off the top to get the pin. The right team won here, in my opinion. There was no need to hotshot the titles. And I suspect what happens now is these three guys might actually stick together and wheel right into a program with Hit Row. We then move along to earlier today. O'Reilly shows up outside. Gargano and The Way get into his face. They push Regal. They push and push, and Regal comes out, and he is running around. And this becomes a bit of a theme, and we will see this later in the show for those of you that tuned in right to the very end of the show. We then see another theme of tonight is the fact that Todd Pettengale has not modernized himself, and they just continually make jokes that he is stuck in the 90s. I thought all of this humor really, really failed. What did you think?
I didn't mind it at all. Okay. I was having fun. I was actually having fun watching this, so I wasn't very negative on it.
Todd Pettengale wants to show B-roll of an old TV monitor. Mackenzie Mitchell comes out and they attempt to do some dated comedy. We see the highlight of Mercedes Martinez beating Xia Li at the Mae Young Classic from 3 to 4 years ago. I love this because they have the footage and they use it. It's good. And rarely does WWE go out of their way to tell these stories, even though they do have all of this footage.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace, and especially with somebody like Mercedes Martinez, because this girl, she's 40 years old now. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have seen them bring her in like 5 years ago or something like that, because she's got so much talent and so much potential. It's just like, how long is the body going to last?
Well, I mean, we'll see. People, I mean, she's right now there. I don't think there's any drop in her work rate since she's popped on in, right? Yeah. So, Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez, answer me this, though, Dave. Who's the baby face here?
This is what I was asking myself as well when I'm watching it. I'm just like, okay, so Mercedes Martinez had just come off a pretty good, like, heel run.
Yep.
And then Xia Li is definitely a heel. And I'm standing there going, okay, so I'm cheering for Mercedes Martinez because I'm a big fan of hers.
Okay.
That's just it. It's not because she's a face or anything like that. It's like, but I'm still wondering what was the point of this match? And I guess we got to that at the end.
The point of the match was not the match.
No, definitely not. Yeah. And thankfully it wasn't, because Xia Li does not have it for me.
I think that she's vastly better than when she started, but that might just be because she's completely supported upon the gimmick that she's been given.
Mm-hmm. It was tough to watch some of this because like I said, I'm a big Mercedes Martinez fan, but you can only carry so much.
So they push the undefeated streak for Xia, the announcers do. The announcers also push the fact that she is out for revenge. This match, as we said, is really nothing. It felt like a TV match to me. And I think actually a lot of this card, perhaps aside from the main event, felt like a TV show as opposed to a pay-per-view. The finish to me came out of nowhere. It was just a cyclone kick and Xia Li got the pin.
Yeah, and Xia Li did not land the kick properly either. It was really low.
So after the match, Xia grabs a chair, but before she can use it, Mercedes kicks her knee out and grabs the chair, hits Boa with it, and then she hits Xia Li, and the chair shots, I thought, kind of looked like they were in slow motion here.
Yeah.
At least the first couple. The lights go out. We see Mei Ying on the ramp, on the throne. Mercedes continues to hit Xia. Mei Ying gets up out of the throne. Mercedes then says, "You want to go, bitch? Let's go." They face off on the ramp. The Mei Ying, that is, grabs Mercedes by the throat. Mercedes hits her with the chair, but Mei Ying grabs her again and tosses her off the ramp into the fence.
Yeah.
Mercedes jumps to help her here, clearly. So the good thing is that what I liked here is Mercedes didn't pull a Seth Rollins, and she didn't cower to the mystical figure. Yeah. But the bad part about this, Dave, is it's yet another mystical figure, which odds are is not going to work.
No, it's not. And like, unless it's Ruby Riott underneath that mask, I'm not going to be happy with it.
Yeah, it is not. Ciampa and Thatcher cut a promo in the back. They've got a match on Tuesday. All right, so they're pushing that. And then Ted DiBiase comes out with the $1 million belt. Was it just me or anyone else? Did you have a hint of the fact that maybe Virgil was coming out next with the $1 million belt?
Oh, man.
There was just a little hope. There was just a little hope in my brain. Then maybe
just
Virgil
have him in the back corner on a table with the belt, just sitting there waiting for somebody.
Right. I had that hope, and it was very silly for me to have it. Anyhow, no promo from DiBiase. He just stands in the ring with two security guards and the belt. And then we get into the $1 million championship ladder match. It's LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes.
Yep.
So listen, it's hard to say that a ladder match isn't good, because you can see that these guys are out there and they're beating the crap out of one another. But I never engaged in this match.
Come on. Come on, Jason. No, I'm so upset right now. No, this match, okay, I texted you. I said, is it wrong that I'm making a coffee during this? Because I was really looking forward to this match. I went off.
It was so boring, you needed to wake up.
That's what I was thinking, because I had to recover from that last match with Xia Li. So I make myself a coffee. I sit down and they start telling this beautiful story in this match. And you're telling me that it wasn't? This is like Cameron Grimes turning, well, not even, I don't want to say a face turn. It's like a face reveal, because the best faces in wrestling are the people that you can tell are truly good people. And Cameron Grimes, you can tell that he's a good person. And now he's becoming this face. When he was going up that ladder and he was grabbing for the briefcase or the glass box or whatever they were saying, I totally forgot about LA Knight. I totally forgot who he was wrestling, because I was so enamored with the character that they have built with Cameron Grimes. And I was not expecting that.
Well, listen, I'm on board for Cameron Grimes. It took me a bit, but I'm on board with this crazy Beverly Hillbilly character, as I said to you this afternoon.
Yes.
But this match, I wasn't. And part of it's LA Knight. Don't get me wrong. From the name on through, I don't care for this guy. And I think part of it is that his character has not evolved. It's the exact opposite of what we've seen with Cameron Grimes, whose character has evolved. He basically has a new coat of paint with this millionaire gimmick. I'm still watching Eli Drake, the same Eli Drake that I saw in NWA, the same Eli Drake, dummy, that I saw in Impact.
I disagree. I totally forgot that his name was Eli Drake. By the end of this match, yes, I forgot about him when he was climbing the ladder. But then he comes back into this match and they booked it so beautifully that they created two stars in my mind out of this one match.
Oh, hard disagree.
Oh, I thought it was so beautifully done. It was perfectly booked. And it was seriously close to my match of the night, for sure.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, there was only five. So, I mean, five is pretty close to one as well. And it's definitely not as bad as the one we just saw. So here's how this played out, friends. Eventually, Grimes feels like he's worn down LA Knight so much, he feels he needs to go and get the big gold ladder that is sitting up on the ramp, even though there is a ladder of identical size sitting in the ring, but it is not gold. This, of course, gives LA Knight time to recover and thwart his attempt to grab the belt. Grimes eventually climbs the ladder on the outside. LA Knight tries to knock him off, but instead he climbs onto scaffolding and then jumps onto Knight. That was a fun spot. Grimes then gets back into the ring, climbs up the golden ladder. He gets knocked off again, not once, but twice. And I will say the final spot here is pretty devastating, because Grimes falls onto a ladder that was set up flat by Knight and elevated earlier in the match. It was something that they put in place. We're talking about 8 minutes earlier before the actual spot, and just kind of left it there enough time that you forgot that it was there.
Yeah.
And the last spot was executed well, but LA Knight is your winner. I mean, you love this. Mm-hmm. I kind of question it. I mean, the $1 million man, I guess, was always a heel. So I guess it makes sense for the heel to have the $1 million belt. Honestly, though, I don't know if you can put LA Knight into any feud that is going to make me interested.
It's going to continue with Cameron Grimes for a while, for sure. But getting back to that last spot with the ladder, I love that, because you saw the red tape on the bottom of the ladder. So you knew that that was the gimmicked one, because the blue ones are the ones you actually use, the little tape on the bottom. And it didn't break. you saw it like kind of crack in the middle. And I love when that happens. And we saw that later on in the show too, where the table didn't break. I love when they don't break because it makes it look that much more brutal. And I loved this match, Jason. I loved it. It was much fun to watch.
We are definitely on different sides of this ring.
But if we were sitting together in the same room watching it, I would have hyped you up enough that you would have loved it too.
I don't know about that, Dave. I don't know about that at all. I don't even think you can help get LA Knight over in my mind. All right. So, by the way, when this did happen, I will say that the championship presentation here was very good. They killed enough time to put Shawn Michaels style fireworks into the ring for the celebration, and then Ted is in the ring just laughing as LA Knight celebrates because they took the title out of the box and let him celebrate with it. The celebration was a highlight that we are going to see over and over again.
There was a lot of Shawn Michaels all over this show.
Yes, there was. Like, well, Shawn Michaels is behind the scenes.
Yeah, you could tell he booked a lot of this because he had his fingers in all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he definitely did. All right, so Todd Pettengale is pimping out merch, but Hit Row shows up to promo their new merch, including a vinyl record for Pettengale with their new single on it. They cut to more chaos in the back. Pete Dunne and Karrion Kross are doing a pull apart. And then we get to the NXT Women's Championship. Ember Moon versus Raquel Gonzalez. Of course, Dakota Kai is at ringside, and that plays in huge. Ember comes out fast in this match, but is quickly pushed away by the strength of Raquel, and then has to deal with Dakota on the outside. Raquel pulls Ember out of the corner, directly into a side slam. Like, Raquel did a few different things, which shows the evolution of her in-ring work, and hey, a twisting Vader bomb. Wow!
I know, right?
Really great. There is no one that is improving as fast as Raquel Gonzalez now in NXT or in WWE.
Yeah, I wrote down, I said, Raquel is not the best. She might not be ready, but she wants it so bad and is improving so much that I am a fan right now just because of that, because you can tell how badly she wants to be the best. And it's a joy to watch her.
So as this match goes on, Ember gets Raquel in like a reverse cloverleaf submission move that she does. It became one of her finishers when she returned. I don't know if there's a name for it as of yet. Pop it up in the chat if there is, but I don't know the name of it. But Dakota pushes the rope close enough for Raquel to grab and break on the hold. So Ember sets up for the eclipse. She instead does a code breaker. Then she goes back up to the top again and actually hits the eclipse. Once again, Dakota pulls Raquel's leg under the rope. Cue Shotzi Blackheart, who charges to ringside, then fights Dakota to the back. Moon manages a top rope tornado DDT to Raquel on the ramp. Can't pin her though, because she has to roll her in. She does hit the eclipse, but this is where we get to see more of the power of Raquel, who powers out of the eclipse, picks up Moon, and does what the announcers say is a snake eyes into the turnbuckles. And Ember's head was not even close here.
Yeah.
Raquel with the one arm power bomb, and we are done. I don't think that there was anyone in our chat room, anyone that is listening now, that had any thoughts of Ember Moon winning this match.
No, definitely not. And I texted you at my writing right on the paper here.
Yeah.
That said, this match did exactly what it needed to do, because I knew exactly how it was going to end. And you know what? It did exactly what it needed to do. But I know we've had our fun with Ember Moon over the past few years.
Well,
did she not look the best she's ever looked in this match to you? Because to me, I think she looked the best she's ever looked in ring.
Okay. Well, I think we're both tainted by the fact that she didn't touch a microphone. So obviously she's a notch up from when we normally see her. I think that there were some sloppy spots, but in general, you do got to figure Raquel is still so new to the game, so she does need someone in there with her that is going to do her well and make her look good.
Yeah.
And Ember, did a good job. There was a few sloppy spots, but overall, not like this was a bad match, and you're right. I mean, this did what it has to do. So, I mean, what do you think the conclusion is here? Do you think that the end result is Raquel keeping this? I think, of course, she has to have the feud with Dakota Kai.
Right.
Coming up. But I also get the feeling that she is now so hot on this brand. When it comes to, someone was just posting up, Brad, the dad, posted up in our chat, is Raquel getting drafted in August?
No, you can't do that yet. Like, she could go, I'm sure she could, but no, you've got so many storylines to tell right now, because now this is going to go off to Shotzi Blackheart. And like you said, it's going to end up with Dakota Kai, but that's a good few months of booking. Hopefully, you know, that they don't just hotshot it real quick, but that's a lot of good storylines. I think they've got a winner with her.
Todd Pettengale is in the back. Someone stole his Walkman. He wants to play Karate Fighters. Dexter Loomis shows up and they play. He's upset with Todd when he asks how the women are treating him. All right, moving along. Yeah. Promo, the Great American Bash, but it is not the next pay-per-view. Instead, it's Tuesday, July 6th at 8 p.m. on USA. It's a TV special. Very strange.
Yeah.
Then we get to see Johnny Gargano walking by Shotzi Blackheart and Dakota Kai being pulled apart. For some reason, Gargano is dressed like Shawn Michaels, as you were talking about earlier, yes. Dave. A lot of Shawn Michaels.
Yes, definitely. And even Pete Dunne was dressed like Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker.
What? Oh, because he was all in white?
He was all in white. That was Shawn Michaels, too. That's the first thing I thought. I'm like, oh, that's Michaels Undertaker 1.
I've never seen Michaels wear a singlet.
Well, no, of
course
not.
Very, very, very tight singlet.
Very tight.
Wow, is that tight. I think PD Dunn likes to show off his PD, and he does this on purpose.
Yes, he does, definitely. Well, we all do. Anyway, go on.
Fatal five-way NXT Championship is on the line. Gargano, Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunn, Adam Cole, Karrion Kross, your champion going in. You know, when it comes to Adam Cole, who has a ton of star power, don't you think that he should have kept the music from Undisputed?
Okay, now that's one of the things that I thought right away, because you hear the new music and I'm like, okay, so how are they going to do the boom?
They did.
We need the boom. And they did it. And you know what? It worked for me.
Mm. I'm sure nobody likes change, I understand. It's just a matter of getting used to it. But if you look at what was done with Roman Reigns when the Shield broke up,
true.
He was the one who kept the theme, for better or for worse, and it's now changed. But there was a reason to change that when his character changed.
Yeah.
Adam Cole was perceived as the leader of Undisputed, so why not let Adam Cole keep that music and have that signature boom and Adam Cole baby? I just think it worked better with the previous music.
I think it's more that he wants to step away from that because he wants nothing to do with what his past was with the Undisputed Era. That's how much he hates the guys from the Undisputed Era. He wants to get rid of them now.
Dave's writing his own storylines.
I am, totally. In my head, all the time.
In your head, yeah. So Karrion Kross's entrance to me was very funny because it's such a big entrance, right? And then it ends with crickets. Like the insane music stops and there's dead silence when it stops.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? During this entrance, the first thing I thought was, I see how this is going to implode on the two of them. You know that at some point in time, he's going to push her aside to go forward. Well, you know how she comes up from behind and she starts singing and walking to the ring first. Mm-hmm. I can see them doing a Mark Mero Sable thing and him just throwing her to the side and wanting to be front and center. Because I think that it's too much that she's front and center so much with that character.
It's the only thing the character is going for it.
He proved a lot to me in this match.
He didn't to me. And as we continue to discuss the aesthetics of these characters, thinking that with all the releases that perhaps some of these characters are going to be moving brands, especially with the draft coming up, you know, it was just a few weeks ago that Cross's wardrobe changed and they've given him that gladiator style skirt.
Not a fan. Yeah.
Well, think about this. Can you name for me someone who had that was successful having that? A main eventer who wrestled with that type of garb? Because I can name two people that have worn it. Can you name anyone that's worn it before?
John Nord.
Did he wear it? I don't think he did.
No.
John Nord came out with something, he took it off, and he just wore the tights.
He was the Viking guy, right?
He was the berserker, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was the Bruiser Brody okay. imitation.
Oh. Farouk had that, right? When Farouk first came out with the metal helmet, he had the little flappy things as well, I think.
Maybe.
The flappy things. This is how bad this is that I'm calling it flappy things.
Here's the two examples that I want to give you.
Okay, please.
Number one, Rusev had it in NXT.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
He ditched it, and he was way better.
Way better.
Brutus Magnus, I believe, had this upon debuting in TNA. He dropped it, clearly, the evolution to... just Magnus and now Nick Aldis better.
Yeah.
This is to give him this look now is rewinding.
Yeah. It's crippling. Yeah. It's crippling. Good. No. Oh, hey, there we go. I was wrong. Mark just put up Farouk's picture.
Oh, there you go. Oh my goodness. Right. That looks terrible.
That looks very similar to me.
Yeah. Just blue. Oh God.
Wow, that's yikes. Yeah. All right, the fatal five-way for the NXT Championship. Now, this match, Dave, is positioned as a fatal five-way, but really, it's a four-on-one handicap match.
It is. Yeah, and it's beautiful. I thought it was great.
Nothing.
The starting was great. It reminded me of the 2020 Royal Rumble when Brock Lesnar went in first and just beat the hell out of everybody coming in. And that's the feeling I got. I thought it was really well told right at the beginning, because Karrion Kross really showed himself as being that champion that you had to beat. He wasn't going to let anybody else beat anybody else. You had to beat him.
I feel like they have just made him into such a monster that it has negated, like, all of these four other dudes have been made to be look so secondary and so much like jobbers because of the way he was positioned in this match. He's not an equal. It's like each one of these guys made up 25% of Karrion Kross.
I could see that. Yeah.
But that's what they've done. And I don't know. I think that it was so bad. It was so extreme that it made everyone else look poor.
I really can't agree with you. I think that it made everybody look good, but it made Karrion Kross look that much better. They really had to validate him as a champion. And I think they did a really good job on that, because he just decimated everybody.
Every time Kross was out of the ring, I engaged in the match because the work rate went through the roof.
Well, come on, give him some credit. I thought he did a good job.
So this thing starts with Kross in the ring, and each guy takes turns with him one at a time. They all kind of team up to take on Kross. They work their way up the ramp and push Kross through the In Your House door. And he
lies. Is that kind of
there.
A precursor, throwing him out the front door, sending him to Raw or something?
Well, he didn't lose the belt. That's the thing. Yeah, he kind of thought they'd use this as an excuse tonight to get it off him. He stays there a while the other four guys carry on with the match. Now, when Kross shows up, he takes out all of the opponents once again. When he returned from being thrown through the door, Dave, it reminded me of Batman. And each one of the other four guys was a henchman of, like, the Joker.
would run
at him one at a time, and Batman would take him out.
Yeah, well... I don't know what to say to you, Jason. I really like this match. I thought it was fun.
I think they booked it properly for Kross as a monster, but I don't buy Kross. So that's why I have a negative opinion of the match, because I really don't buy what Kross is putting out.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, and I didn't either, but I thought this match, it kind of sold them on me. And the double teams near the end, when they kept on doing all the different double team moves on him, I thought that was just beautiful. It was really well told.
There were some really good spots in this match. I mean, you had Gargano taking everybody out individually with suicide dives until he runs into Cole's super kick. When these two got together, Cole and Gargano, give me more. They are great. They keep up a crazy pace, as do O'Reilly and Dunn, who get into it. We at one point get a reverse Hurricanrana by Gargano to Dunn at the same time that Cole is kicking Dunn in the face with a super kick. It's great. There are certain points of this match that are absolutely fantastic. There are certain points of this match that live up to the NXT takeover style that we have become accustomed to, but there are certain parts that definitely don't. And you know what, Dave? We complained earlier today about the fact that Pete Dunne was becoming very repetitive. Did you notice how many times he did joint manipulation in this match?
Quite a few.
Two.
Oh, and it was at the same time?
No.
It
was two different spots in the match.
Oh, okay.
But one of them was the absolute perfect time to do it. But my point is, he only did it two times that I saw. And it's so much more impactful when we don't see the damn joint manipulation all the time.
I got the feeling that he is being primed to come out as the number one contender.
You did see a lot of interaction between Pete Dunne and Karrion Kross.
Not back down at all. He really, and I like that about his character. And like you said, we talked about it and it was just kind of meh on him. But this one showed that he had some upward motion, if you will. I don't know what that means.
Eventually, in this match, we have Kross go off to the side once again, because eventually Cole and O'Reilly work together to powerbomb Kross through the announce table. I don't think I minded as much with the two-on-one, but when it came to doing the four-on-one stuff, I didn't care for it. Dunne tries to moonsault off the top. He eats a double super kick from Gargano and Cole, which was great.
Yeah.
Cole continually lets other people do a move, and then tries to sneak in, toss that person out, and get the sneak pin. So out of all of these guys who 4 out of 5 are heels, Cole is the heel of the heels.
Yeah, for sure he was.
He's the sneaky heel, right?
That's one of my favorite spots is just throw the guy out of the ring and steal the pin. Fantastic stuff.
So Kross eventually emerges and goes head-to-head with Pete Dunne, and this is what you were speaking of. And Dunne hits the bitter end, gets a near fall, also has a submission locked in place, and despite Kross nearly going out, it's broken up by the rest of the talent. Kross dismisses Cole, puts Dunne in the straitjacket, but this is perfect. Dunne uses the joint manipulation to get out of the straitjacket that is put on him by the bigger man, and that is absolutely the perfect time to use it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like you said, it's an overused move, but he did it beautifully in this. I really, really enjoyed that. And I'm looking forward to seeing these guys go one-on-one if possible.
I think it could be headed in that direction. To end this thing out here, Cole breaks up a pin of O'Reilly on Kross, then super kicks everyone, only to end up in a heel hook by O'Reilly. Kross then grabs the jacket on O'Reilly while he has the heel hook on Cole. So that allows Cole to escape, but O'Reilly to pass out. And that means Kross gets the win. It was an interesting finish. And having said all of that, so you're thinking coming out of this, we have Kross and Dunne?
Yeah, definitely. Because even at the end of the match, when Kross is celebrating, they kept on going to Pete Dunne sitting against the table, just staring. And I thought that was kind of neat how they're showing that he's really disappointed and he's got to, push forward and really do this. I think that that's where they're going. But like you said, I make up storylines in my head like crazy. I'm very lonely.
So the last thing that we have, though, Dave, is after all the recaps, and I normally turned off the television and missed this because they did recap after recap after recap, and then we see William Regal exiting the building. Mackenzie Mitchell is there. I think I have to say the hardest working reporter in wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell. I think that's what we say now in Sunday Night's Main Event. It's a part of the NXT Talk brand.
Gotcha.
He says it's been 7 years since he's been the GM of NXT, but he thinks it's time for a change, and he walks away.
Yeah. What the hell was this about? He said he's never seen bedlam like this. And I didn't think it was that much bedlam. You booked these matches to happen. They happened. Nothing really happened on the outside.
It was all the brawling on the outside. We saw brawls all night long trying to separate these guys. But ultimately, you're right. He put the 5-man match in place. The 5-man match happened, and we had a conclusive finish to the 5-man match.
Exactly. So what are you going to do? Is this are we doing war games? Or what could you change about NXT?
I don't know. I mean, I believe, let's try and get Mark to chime in here, because he has just put up in the chat, here comes Samoa Joe. Now, there was a rumor of Samoa Joe hanging around the Performance Center, and he has not done his 90-day no-compete, so he hasn't officially left the company yet. But Mark, a couple things. I know you love an event, and this was one. What did you think of the overall card?
You know, I mean, 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
It wasn't defensive. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm not sure I can articulate what's missing, but I feel like, and you know what, if I don't think about NXT from the past or any of the other NXT events, it's fine. It's great. It's very exciting, but I can only compare it to the old NXTs, the NXTs pre-pandemic, and it's just not that. Mm-mm. It's just not as exciting. I'm not as compelled by the storylines or characters, and maybe it's because the characters are all the same. Maybe it's I've just seen Adam Cole this whole time. Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, the characters haven't not that they all are. Like, they're not distinctive characters, but it's the fact that they are the same people, and we're not seeing the turnover of talent that we used to. Dave, correct. I mean, when we started covering this, the whole thing was who's going up next? Who's going up next? You got to admit, the entire roster is completely stagnated.
It has, and I was thinking about that. I was going to text you earlier and say, is anyone going to show up in the CWC, in the crowd? And, of course, nobody's going to show up because they're letting everybody go, but... But I still think on a work rate, this show was superb. I really, really enjoyed it. I had so much fun watching it.
I completely disagree because of the comparison to other takeovers. This was one of the lowest. Aside from the main event. Like, okay, the first match, again, it's a bookended show. First match I'm fine with. Last match I'm fine with. But think about it. Those two matches are a six-man tag and a five-man main event. Neither one of them are conclusive ends. You're getting great work rate in things that are not a feud culmination.
Sure.
Yeah, but like maybe it's just a holdover pay-per-view. Why does it have to culminate on every pay-per-view? And you can't compare to the past, or you're just going to be let down. You got to like look at what we've got right now and what's going on. Because what we've got going on right now, that was a great show. It was a lot of fun. And it came out, I think storylines came out of that I can look forward to.
There's just something, I can't place it. There's just something spectacular that's missing. So it takes it from being this thing that I was very excited about to being a thing that I will watch.
Okay, well, give me something that was spectacular that you loved from past pay-per-views.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
That you missed, that wasn't on this show.
I mean, the feud between Ciampa and Gargano was
there you go,
unreal.
First thing I thought of too.
Any match that they did just made me very excited. Brad McKinnon in the chat is saying, storylines ended.
Ended, yeah. It's a pay-per-view. You use your television to build a pay-per-view.
But come on, everybody used to complain about, oh, well, WrestleMania is where everything concludes. But now we're saying that it has to be at every single pay-per-view?
No,
and
Dave.
Gargano and Ciampa have to start somewhere. They had to start somewhere. Maybe LA Knight and Grimes started tonight.
LA Knight and...
Dude, we might have seen the start of Triple H and The Rock. You do not know that. No, you do not know that. How can you say?
I can say it because it's LA Knight. That's how I can say it, Dave. That's how and why I can say it.
Tonight? There was no.
It's a hard match. Don't get me wrong. He's a competent performer, and it's a hard match, but it's nothing above and beyond. That match did not feel like an NXT match. That match felt like a WWE match.
So.
Good call. Darren in the chat says NXT on USA ruined takeovers. And that was what happened. When they went on, you're right, Darren. When they went on USA and went head to head with AEW, something about them lost their luster.
Hey, maybe that's Darren. Go ahead. Darren that was there tonight, right?
Darren.
That's Darren Blotch that was actually there tonight. Yeah. He says, yes. Do you want to bring him up? That's an interesting conversation to have.
I just want to say that I'm going to try something new, so this may or may not stick. But instead of bringing people up, I'm going to allow them to talk. It's a little more instantaneous.
Okay.
So you should be able to speak now. Darren, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep. So Darren, this is great.
I'm driving right now, so I'm not going to turn my camera on, but I can talk.
Don't worry about it, man. For anyone that's raising their hand and getting on, you never need to put the camera on. As long as we can hear you, that's what counts. It's like the old Sunday Night's Main Event or Law days. We're just taking callers, but we're doing it on Zoom. Darren, so you told me this afternoon, you said, hey, Jay, I'm going to be there tonight, and I'm going to try to hop into the chat. So thank you for doing this. This is interesting because this is like, you know, the first NXT show where they don't have the monitors on, and instead they have the crowd, and you were in there. What was this environment like tonight?
It was kind of different because they had more people there. So you could see that the amount of screens obviously lessened. Like they didn't have the whole wall all the way around. And that's the first time I've been to the CWC. Every other time I've gone, it's been at Full Sail. Okay. So the layout's a little different, like where the hard camera is and where the people were. But it was pretty much about the same size crowd. It's like 200 probably people there-ish. It's hard to gauge because it's kind of spread out a bit, but and it had a various type of crowd there. Like you have the hardcore people that, you know, you always hear at Full Sail, and then there was some little kids there and some families, but pretty much everybody seemed to know who everybody was. But I found that a lot of people didn't know who to cheer for, or they were cheering for the wrong people,
right?
And I don't know if that's just because there was no crowds to tell them how, so that, you know. Like MSK, people were booing them when they were coming out, which is surprising.
Really?
I think there might have been just a higher amount of maybe Spanish speaking people there because they were a lot of El Fantasma, that whole crew getting cheered a lot. Gonzalez, she was getting cheered way more than Ember Moon. People were, you know, so I think there was a bigger Latino crowd there. Or just people don't like Ember Moon, which is...
That's a valid point, Darren. That's a very valid point.
Because it's weird. They seem to like Bronson, but they didn't like MSK. And then they were, you know, cheering for all the other guys. So, you know, I just thought my notice. But, you know, for the rest of it, the crowd was... They were getting kind of dead at times, like you were saying, with, you know, coming out with Karrion Kross, which I was interested in that because I was wondering how that would work in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
They got all the, you know, the fog machines and whatnot, and it looked cool. It just, you know, you don't get the full on effect because and I don't know I've been to takeovers before when they were over here, and I don't recall if they don't show anything live on the screens, right? So other than a replay after the match, you don't get to, so everybody's watching granted you're not sitting far away, but everybody's actually watching the matches, not looking at any screen or any view of anything. So I don't actually get the view that you guys are seeing on, you know, the network stream or whatever. So a lot of times, you know, where I was sitting, the cameraman will be walking out as the guys were coming out of the door or whatever. So you're getting that blocked. So you're not even seeing the full effect of the, you know, like the cross entrance and stuff like that. So it's a little interesting. And they only had two screens going up there. They had the one big one and they had the one that was like square, you know, behind the In Your House set, which wasn't even a full screen. So whatever they did show is just kind of weird.
Which do you prefer? Which environment do you prefer? You're a rarity that's been to both.
Well, I mean, I called you guys. I went to WrestleMania, which was, you know, obviously the whole different beast. But I actually like it in this environment because you can actually, I mean, you're making eye contact with the wrestlers.
Right.
I saw wrestlers out walking by, like Todd Pettingill walked right by me. I was like at the merch stand. And then Reginald rolled in, right? Like we're standing in line for the bathroom, and Reginald just walks by wearing his same outfit he's, you know, rolls around on SmackDown with. And then you can see the Hit Row people kind of rolling around at the back. So you can see stuff like that. But, you know, I'm only sitting 15 feet away. So the wrestlers, you know, when it's totally quiet, you can yell out something, whether, you know, which I'm sure you guys can hear. It'd be, you know, sometimes it's not appropriate stuff where they're just kind of trolling the guys, but yeah, you can actually get, you know, it's a much smaller environment. Whereas otherwise, unless you're sitting like ringside at any Raw or anything, you're not going to just fade it in the background. You might as well not even be there. So
Darren, what was your match of the night tonight? And what was the crowd's match?
I'd say the main event.
Yeah.
And the crowd, the problem was the crowd that was, they don't know who to root for. Everybody hated Kross. No one wanted Kross. We were all happy. You know, he apparently went through the door. That was the worst thing ever because he disappeared and then rolled around the back end. It was like, oh, no one could, 10 guys hitting him and, And all of a sudden now you throw him through a paper door and he's dead for 10 minutes. But, you know, so everybody was happy with that and everybody's loving all the moves. And he gets in there and just starts strong arming everybody. And one guy near me is like, yeah, it looks like some guy beating up a bunch of kids. And I'm like, so I'm like, come on. So you get these smart aleck guys that, you know, making their comments, but you can audibly hear them, especially when that, you know, you guys could hear on the broadcast. I'm sure it would just kind of get dead. And then they had one of like the guys near down near, so I was sitting right behind like the announce table. And it was like one of the, I don't know, he's like the guy with the headset on kind of getting the crowd fired up. So every time they're yelling anything, he's trying to get them to keep going and stuff. And they were all wanting to yell Johnny Wrestling. So it seemed like he was the most over in that match. But I mean, they liked everybody, but I don't know, Kyle O'Reilly, I think they're trying to shove him in everybody's face and no one seems to care about him. It's like crickets. So they need to figure him out. At least he didn't come out in his whatever jean jacket today.
You're right. I noticed that too. He did not come out as cool, you know, Kyle tonight. Yeah. He came out with his Axe and Smash shirt on.
Yeah. Which I didn't know what that was about.
Me neither.
People were yelling at him, you're not cool. And don't like those games. That's quite interesting. Like, you know, and it's just interesting because they, you know, they've been massaging the fans this whole time.
Yeah, man.
And you know, they don't know what's going to happen. And now, you know, it's kind of out of their control. I don't think they were piping in any noise for you guys because I, you know, I was on some Twitters and whatnot. And people were like, oh, is it kind of dead there? And I think the miking of the crowd was a little weird because usually when you sit in a Full Sail, you're on the side with the hard cam. There's people. And right. this thing, they didn't have that. They just had a bunch of like workers down there and other stuff. And that was basically the side that they, you know, Bronson, I think threw somebody through or ran through at the beginning.
Right.
There was only like people basically on the one side across from where I was. And then on the side opposite the hard cam.
Well, Darren,
there's only like 200 people there anyway. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to get loud.
Yeah, though I really appreciate you chiming in here. That's awesome. Like, we have someone on the ground floor. Thank you so much, man.
Anything else that you guys needed to...
Dave, Mark, do you have any questions for Darren in the live perspective?
I'm good.
No, I don't
think so. I was not able to locate... I couldn't find WrestleMania's biggest fan. I was looking around in the ceiling for that ceiling fan, but I guess they're taking that down.
That's right. Yeah, the big fan. That is funny.
They actually had a shirt. They did release a shirt that said WrestleMania's biggest fan. I saw it at like WrestleMania and it had that fan as in a picture. I'm like, someone buys anything apparently.
Yes, that is very true. Wrestling fans buy anything.
Yeah,
well, much. Listen, Darren, thank you so much for chiming in. That is.
Hey, I don't mind live you guys. Like, you know, it was a good show. I'd say 6 out of 10, just like you guys said. Yeah. It was, you know, the problem was what we were just talking about before was as soon as they had to keep matches, they're saving good matches for USA. And so inherently, like, Mercedes Martinez, Xia Li shouldn't have been on that takeover. I like Mercedes Martinez. I'm just like Bartender Dave, but that wouldn't have made the cut before. And now because they're saving Ciampa, you know, tornado matches for USA, now it's like, well, and before they would have, you know, junk matches that were just jobber matches, get everybody over, then have really good matches for the takeovers. Now it's like, well, we got to play to the TV ratings, just like everything else. So,
yeah, makes sense. Listen, well, thank you so much, Darren. Appreciate the feedback. And really, guys, I mean, that is something that we are now going to see what Darren...
Take care, guys.
Okay, thanks, Darren. That is something that we're going to see. You know, we saw this on a smaller level here in NXT, but just think, July 16, 17 weekend, when that first SmackDown goes back in, just imagine how huge Roman Reigns is going to be cheered for all the character work that he has done throughout the pandemic, and how much Seth Rollins is going to be booed out of the building for all the wrong reasons.
Is it for the wrong reasons, though?
Oh, yeah, we have this argument as well. Dave thinks the character work is good. I just can't stand him.
I think the character work is brilliant.
Mark, you're the decider.
Nah. Let's don't put me in the middle of this. I don't like it when you guys fight. I'm not into it.
All right, let's go to another, I was going to say caller. Let's go to another Zoomer.
Yeah.
Who are you opening on up here, Mark, Zoomer, to speak? If you want to speak, just raise your hand and Mark will let you chime in.
Yeah, Brad. Brad
the dad?
Yep.
All right, Brad the Dad, you are your line is open. What'd you think tonight?
Can I be the decider on the whole Seth Rollins thing?
Yes, yeah, please.
Sure. Yeah. He's awful. And I can't believe I have to listen
come
to
on,
him.
Brad. We've been through so much together.
I'm sorry, Dave. I have to watch him every Friday night now with my fellow East Coast dad. And that is our one thing we always agree upon is that none of us can stand him.
That means he's doing his job properly.
Yeah, but I don't dislike him because he's a good heel. I dislike him because I can't stand the sound of his voice.
Oh, there's this. Oh, I don't dislike him because he's a good heel. Come on, man. You dislike him because he's a heel and he's doing his job right. That's
Dave
exactly what it is.
Dave enjoys characters such as Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin. So I know where Dave is coming from here. He likes things that other people don't. Generally.
Or he just likes to troll people. I'm not sure.
I am not trolling anybody. I like what I like. I took a vow of truth. I'm not going to... Anyway, go on.
Brad, what did you think?
I think this was very much a 6 out of 10 show, and which makes it the worst takeover.
Yeah, right?
Here's my thing. We would always stay and watch takeovers, and it would be the end of a big act. There'd be several stories that you would see build up, and as the previous caller said, through a bunch of jobber matches, and then we would have the big culmination. And this is my problem with NXT. It's becoming like the main roster. It's just another pay-per-view. And when you only have 5, maybe 6 pay-per-views a year, they should be special, but they're turning into, well, an in your house.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a business and they have to make money, right? So they're going to make more pay-per-views.
But there should be some big culmination.
Oh, yeah. There will be.
Right, but that's what a pay-per-view is for, the culmination of a storyline. And we didn't get which storyline that we've been building up for 3 or 4 weeks had culminated other than poor William Regal going away.
Well, Brad, I mean, we did get, I think maybe the problem here is that we all kind of agreed that the first and the last match were the best two matches on the card, and they were not culminations of feuds. But if you look at the other one, I mean, the $1 million belt was given out tonight.
Yeah, and I'll give you that. Although, is LA Knight a guy that in 6 months is even still going to have a job?
Without a doubt, he will.
I don't know.
I think he will. I think he's big time. I think he's going to make it.
I think he's the worst $1 million champion since poor Virgil.
Saying something. I don't know. What was Stone Cold's version of that? The Ringmaster. That was pretty bad too. That didn't do anything for him.
Well, and I don't think the belt will do anything for Eli Knight either.
No, Eli Knight will make it for himself. Sorry, go on.
I have a proposition. I have an interesting thought about all of this, you know, going up to the main roster, quote unquote, and how a lot of our favorites have gone to the main roster only to not do great.
Right.
I think every single one of them.
Not quite.
So
close.
Hear me out. What happens if Karrion Kross, who we don't care for, goes to the main roster? Maybe that's the ticket.
As long as he goes to Raw and not SmackDown.
Stop!
I don't want to watch.
Stop wishing
out of here,
Brad.
Get out of here.
But I think Karrion Kross has a very good chance of being a big act on either Raw or SmackDown, mostly because he's exactly what Vince likes. He's got a pretty blonde on his arm. He's got a big entrance, and he's a big, imposing guy who can do 6 moves.
Yeah, it's just not someone that I'm all geared up to watch. To me, he's he'll be a Jinder Mahal style champion.
Oh, wait, terrible. That's bad. Wow, that's ouch.
Everyone's ouch. Face just kind of dropped when I said that.
Oh, that means you can have Jinder Mahal versus Karrion Kross on Raw. That's a great Monday
Get
night show.
Get out of here. Mark, mute his microphone. Get rid of him. Thanks, Brad.
Bye, guys.
Bye. There we go. That's Brad's dad, one of our East Coast dads who does SmackDown reviews now for us. He is 2 weeks in and clearly very tired of Seth Rollins already.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there's Seth Rollins on Mark's feed right now. Mark, who is next for our feedback? If you want to talk, put up your hand. And it looks like we are going to go out west because Chris Gaskin is the next one that is going to have a say. Hello, Gaskin.
Hey, how's it going?
That's delightful, my friend. What did you think of tonight's show?
Delightful.
So good it hurts.
I thought this was a good show. Not great. And the thing is even a good show, when you're grading on the scale of what NXT takeovers are, it makes it not a great show.
Yeah.
And it makes it not a good show. The work rate was perfectly okay. A lot of the matches, there was some clunkiness in both of the women's matches, especially the first one, that Xia Li match. I don't know what it was, but they missed a few things. I did like the main event. I thought it was well booked. I'm still not sold on Karrion Kross. To me, he's just, he's that old tag team that was just like the entrance that I forgot their name, and I'm glad I did.
Authors of Pain? Victor
and Connor? No, because Authors of Pain were actually involved in a couple good matches. The Ascension.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ascension.
He's got that Ascension style entrance.
Yeah, you're right.
And then it's, the problem is he doesn't do a lot, but what he does is like, it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they're just throws. It's just a big guy throwing guys around. You don't need much more than that for that style. But the other problem is what happens when you put him against a bunch of guys that are also his size.
Yep.
I mean, this was a match where everyone that he was in the ring with were, I think they're all under 6 feet.
Or close to it for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
What does happen then?
I mean, are you interested? You put this guy in the ring with Drew McIntyre. Are we interested?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Interested in that at all?
You just said that he can throw around little guys. Let's see what he does with the big guy. Throw him in with Drew McIntyre. Let's see. Throw him in with Jinder Mahal. Let's see what happens.
But my point to that is you can't build him as a monster and then put him up against bigger guys and still sell him as a monster.
We haven't seen what he's doing, I guess, when they do put him on one of the other two rosters. Like, you're right. He can't be the monster because you're going to have him on SmackDown with Aziz. You're going to have him on Raw with Omos. Those guys are the monsters. They're like literally a foot taller than him.
Yeah, both of them are. And it's like, again, it's, to me, he's all entrance, and he's not as bad a worker as a lot of people say he is, but it's so basic that it really undersells the work rate of the matches. And that's the one thing that I agree with Jason. Like, the best parts of that match was when he was tossed out of it, tossed through the door. Although, I mean, I hated Beth Phoenix's line after that. Say that they're tearing the house down, because they were not. That's the one thing.
Chris getting real literal here.
She had a nice gold literal. Jacket that, on.
That's
though.
Probably the only thing is literally tearing it down.
Yeah.
But that crowd was dead. And that's the other thing. You know, I was listening to you guys talking, and that's the thing that I thought of when Dave was asking Mark about what's missing. And it's a hot crowd. I mean, they haven't had that hot crowd that they had for all of those NXT events.
I think that what we're in right now with NXT is a rebuilding. And I think that everybody's expecting this grandiose thing to happen.
How is it a rebuild when all of the same guys have been there for years?
But they're recreating characters. And like you're saying that this guy is not a monster because he hasn't done that much, but he's already, like, this is the start of him destroying everybody. Like, why does everything have to be exactly like it was 3 years ago?
So he destroys everybody and then leaves. So they all look like garbage.
How do we know that he's leaving? We don't.
He's destined for the main roster. No,
this is a possibility, but we don't know.
He's going, Dave. Maybe not yet. I expect him to go tonight, but he's not, he's on his way.
I mean, he was also hotshotted into that role both times.
True.
Like, both times he was brought in, he was hotshotted straight to the main event. He had one takeover match before the title match.
Here's another thing that maybe we haven't considered. You know how NXT had that allure of it was the WWE brand that wasn't like WWE? And it was really neat, and it was really cool. It was almost kind of underground, and I'm not talking about Raw Underground, but I'm like, it's like the it's the rest it's the hardcore fans wrestling show Well, guess what? That show's now AEW.
Or NXT UK.
Yeah, I know you do like NXT UK. Yeah, I haven't really got into that product all that much. This feels like a WWE show now. And that might actually be the problem for the fans who used to enjoy it for more so an indie show feel.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Maybe this is just what they want to do now. They want to create another brand that is exactly like it is.
And oh, great. That's wonderful. That's what we need more of. Thank you,
more
Gaskin.
More is more, right?
More is more. Thank you, Gaskin, for popping in tonight. Appreciate it. All right, we're continuing on. We'll keep taking them. Greg from the Peg is in here. I would be curious if he would like to chat, because we haven't heard that in say. Oh, he's up now.
Yay.
That's very funny. I didn't know that was happening. Yeah. Greg from the Peg, every time we do one of these, you are on Facebook with me the next day and throwing out a whole bunch of things you wanted to say. You're here now. Unmute. Go ahead, Greg from the Peg.
Mark, put the camera on me.
All right, hold on. The reason I'm not doing that so much anymore is because it takes a minute. So
okay,
you're on your way up. It's going to take you a few seconds to get over.
Greg from the Peg is, he wants the camera on him. He wants to have his say and do a little monologue.
Yo.
It's happening. Yeah? Go for it, Greg.
What's up? What's up, pencil neck freaks? Long time no see, people.
Well, technically, we've never seen you because you always called in. So, what did you think of tonight's show?
Well, I love the booking of tonight's show. I love that Cross retain. Love that L.A. Knight won the belt tonight. The belt was put on the right person in regards, because I think that there's going to be some big stuff with him. He has the charisma. He has the personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's virtually money.
There you go.
On that.
For LA Knight. Okay.
So I'm here, I am the person who loves to look at the business aspects of the situation here. Let's talk releases, shall we? Let's get right down to business.
Yeah.
This was this is probably one of the worst block of releases that I have ever seen. And I'm saying to the people who were formerly the Iconics, you are dealt a bad hand. Ruby Riott, you are dealt a bad hand. Braun Strowman, which I was kind of taken aback that he's making $1.2 million. You gotta be kidding me. That literally was a, let's say, a super kick party a la Young Bucks style in terms of the dollars he was making. Tommy End, formerly known as Aleister Black, I say that was basically unprofessional what they did to him.
Yeah, like how do you let a guy like that go? That was nuts.
Now I do not know anything about Selena Garrett. I will defer that to Jason Agnew on that, because
Santana is where we'll start with that.
Santana. But sorry.
We're talking about Tito Santana?
Yes, Tito.
Okay. Tito.
He's also not with the company anymore. Might be on a Legends deal, though.
Unreal.
Yeah. There were lots of cuts, Greg, so you've run through all the cuts. I get it. Yeah,
and now this brings me up to Lana. How would I put this? I'm seeing some people, and I'm not going to put names on faces here, but I have a soft spot of people who are not in the, who are basically coming from an industry that is not wrestling. And what she has accomplished both outside the ring in terms of getting help by Natty and having that dedication, and gets cut on that particular type of situation. And she was virtually a, what I will say in terms of, if we do like the best and worst for 2021, she will be on my list as one of the most improved wrestlers in on. Yes.
We're talking don't about give Lana.
Me that look,
Lana.
Don't look at me. Don't give me that look, Jason. Don't
I'm
give me that.
I'm going to give you that look. Cause I mean, I've been looking at you for the past 10 years when you've been calling, but that's generally the look on my face when you call.
Where she has came and where she's gone has where she, the transition is basically night and day in
Raquel
terms of that.
Gonzalez 2.0.
No. Lana did improve quite a bit. I totally agree with Greg on this one.
There was Lana's value is not in the ring.
Then we need to invest in terms of her value inside the ring. That's where you have, I'll say, she was tagged up with Naomi.
Yeah, that was.
And Naomi is probably one of the top 10 divas, not divas, women's wrestlers in the WWE, in the WWE, 1 to 10.
I mean, there are
one
that...
of the, or I could give you one top 15 if you want me to.
No, I don't know. Are there 15 right now? Right on the main roster? Are there 10 women on the main roster at this point with all the cuts?
I think there's 10.
10? There's one tag team we're down to. Two, so maybe. Two. I guess Dana, yeah, right Dana there. Brooke and what's her face around?
Yeah, that's four. That's two, four.
We do eclipse 10. Okay. Anyway, Greg.
Yeah. So that's why I will say this here. I've been looking at some of the stuff, and I saw what you that Mark went in terms of the S word with WWE. And that is sale.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Nice.
I say this, not
on that path. We did not.
If I was going to put a prediction on the board,
please.
WrestleMania 2020 after WrestleMania 2023.
Okay. After The Rock appears.
Then?
After The Rock appears.
Yeah.
Yes. And you and Vince goes into the Hollywood sunset and sells the company after Mania.
Well, you know,
it will be a big Q2 end of Q2 announcement for that on that corresponding year.
Okay. You know, there is a possibility of a sale. I mean, a lot of the things you have said, Greg, I feel are bananas. But I feel that one might be on
bananas.
Who knows? Yeah.
Is he going to sell it to Disney?
Huh? NBC.
No, NBC? NBC. NBC or Fox, I think. Yeah.
NBC or Fox. Disney's ABC. That's the ESPN.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they're not in bed with them, but they're in bed with both Fox and in particular Peacock's NBC. All right, Greg. Well, listen, I know you wanted to talk about this.
The Iconics. Iconics totally broke my heart. Totally.
Well, you're going to get to see them again, and they do have a podcast that you can listen to as well.
Do they? I didn't know that.
Yes, they do. They started a podcast. That's what everybody does.
I was really getting into Peyton. I was really, like, Peyton, I was really
I'm a Billy Kay fan. Seriously.
Yeah, Billy Kay is very funny. Billy Kay could talk, and Peyton was. I was really enjoying Peyton in the ring. I was really getting into all that, and then they let him go. Real sad. Broke my heart too, Greg. I'm with you. Broke my heart too.
And the only way you were talking about WWE stock on the special release. The only way that you will see stock prices of that high for the WWE is if they have a kick. You know what? Quarter or quarters or three quarters and they are raking in a ton load of revenue. And that, and when they started with the WWE Network, that basically put their revenue handcuffs to everything, in my view.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate it. I hope to hear from you after Hell in a Cell next week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, brother.
All right.
Yeah.
Greg from the Peg, everybody, in the flesh right there. All right. So yes. One slight correction. WWE profits are at an all-time high. Stock is a little bit low, but the stock, it's funny. This week, Mark, we were talking about the fact that, what was it? It was AMC that had the artificial inflation due to a Reddit thread, and the same thing happened to WWE,
No. Listen, the thing that's happening with AMC and with GameStop is not an artificial, like, they've been heavily shorted by hedge funds. There's a whole other thing going on there. Now, what happened with WWE was somebody messing around on Reddit.
Okay.
So that I'll give you, I think the WWE stock is overvalued, and people are talking about how, like, it's going to go up because live audiences are coming back and tickets are going on sale. Yeah. But that's not anything.
No,
I don't think that's, and listen, invest where you like. I don't know anything. I'm a monkey. I don't know anything about stocks. So
I'm a monkey.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just like press buttons on my phone and go, I like this one, and I'm going to press that. So I don't know what I'm doing. Don't listen to me. I'm personally not convinced on purchasing WWE stock. And I think it's been proven that they can have record numbers and record sales and record years, and it's not going to change the price of the stock. And I suspect that the stock's only going to go down from where it is, really.
Here, the only thing that consistently affects the WWE stock is when they're building up to another television deal.
Right, yes.
That always, the stock climbs, and then it drops, and it climbs, and then it drops. And it's all about the television rights. But you're always thinking, I mean, it's much like housing prices. You're always thinking, when is that bubble going to pop? Housing prices have not. WWE always goes up. Will it go up the next time? Is TV still going to be relevant? What are they going to do? Is the streaming service going to take, like, their live shows? Who knows? They're going to go to the highest bidder. That's their MO.
I'd be surprised if, you know, people keep talking about how TV is not going to be relevant and how TV, people aren't watching TV. I just don't, maybe I'm an old man, but I just don't see it. Like, even little kids watch TV. It's just, dude, what I they're steal watching everything. Is different. What's that?
I steal everything.
You steal everything.
Yeah, I'm actually in Germany on my computer right now.
Right. See, I guess I guess the question is, what do you mean by TV? I guess
I watch everything that everybody else wants to watch. I just don't pay for it.
Right. Well, there you go.
It's now admitted, and people will be banging on your door tomorrow. Luckily, they think you live in Germany.
Yay!
People are going to be asking how you do it.
I'll give you a full.
We have another. We have another caller raising their hand.
Oh, sure. Would go right ahead.
Like to go to that? Is that too soon?
Yeah. No. Do it up,
Brian.
Brian is on the line. All right, Brian, go right ahead. We're talking about tonight's show, or what are we talking about?
Tonight's show. I really have mixed feelings on tonight's show. I really didn't enjoy it that much. I liked the Fatal 5-Way and the ladder match. And the women's match, I didn't really like it. I just found Ember Moon was really slow, or maybe it was because Raquel Gonzalez is new or something. But I would like to know your guys' feelings on that women's match, especially because I just got in the Zoom right now.
We really did break that down a little bit earlier, Brian. So this will be up on a podcast. You can catch it. I don't want to recap for the other 20 people in the room, but generally we thought that Ember did well for Raquel, and she was someone that's good for Raquel to play off, and Raquel is continually improving. In summary, that was what we said.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian. Nice to hear from you. A new caller that just popped into the room, found his way in. That is great. But I think that pretty much does wrap it up for us for this evening. Guys, thanks for hanging out. One thing I will say, oh boy, Mark.
Wow, check that.
That is a doozy right there. But wait a minute, who's on the left? Is that, that's not Alex Marvez.
That is Alex Marvez, is it not? I Googled Alex Marvez and that's a picture.
It's the wrong Alex Marvez.
Could have fooled me.
Just
how about
to
this? Is this Alex Marvez?
Jesus. Happening? What the?
Okay, get out of here. Mask. People who are listening on the podcast have no idea what is happening now.
but
nonetheless,
out.
We are saying goodbye. So next week, we're going to do this again, though. Lavransky's going to be back, and we're going to be doing the Hell in a Cell show. I'm sure it will not be as a 2.5-hour lovely as tonight was. I'll still give it to NXT for doing that. The 2.5 hours is a delight. So we'll see what they do next week. We'll be back for a Hell in a Cell. And the syndicated show is out. The after party is out. Mark and I are going to be back doing the midweek markout. All of those fine things. Bartender Dave, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure, Jason. Thank you very much, my friends. I love you all, and I'll be thinking about you in the shower tomorrow.
That's what he does. Yes, Mark. Hooray! I'll talk to you on Tuesday morning. Bye, everybody.